Here's Harris now. Attacking. Wow. Oh, the claw. Siakam open floor. Two handed slam.
Gets better and better at it. Nice job by Kyle knocking that away.
Slots it away. He's playing with four fouls. Here's Ibaka. Slam dunk.
Oh, Brett Brown wants a timeout.
Fousey Chef is cooking it up.
Nick Nurse said Kawhi is the type of player that says, I'm going to make a play. I'm going to get a stop. I'm going to get a steal, take the ball away.
Danny Green from downtown.
It is a rare game one victory for Toronto. A complete performance. They take down the 76ers 108-95.
Welcome to another episode of That's a Wrap podcast, where the Toronto Raptors have won a game one. That is something I was expecting to say, so, but that is really gratifying to say.
Is the curse broken, you think?
I don't know. Because this is the thing, Drake was actually in the building too.
That's
right?
True. It was the most Canadian celebrity shout out ever. It was, there's like Marcus Stroman, Vladdy there. There was Shawn Mendes, I believe. Mark, who else was there? It was
Corey Joseph.
Cujo was there. Oh, RJ Barrett was there. It's a Canadian celebrity list. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. But you know who was definitely there? Kawhi Leonard. Ooh. And that's what this game was all about.
Oh, yes. I know. Thank you. Thank you for that, Dre. As we've been doing throughout these playoffs, we've been doing these like mini post-game pods and, you know, continuing in that light. Game one just wrapped up. As Dre alluded to, Kawhi Leonard was just the Kawhi Leonard show, which is actually quite an accomplishment if you consider how well Pascal Siakam played in that first mm-hmm. quarter. But I'm going to leave all the positives to Jay. I don't know how you're going to keep it at three, and I'm pretty sure you're going to go over. So now that I'm about to step into the three numbers that jumped out, I'm not going to talk about the obvious. I'm not going to talk about Kawhi, because again, both of you can kind of handle that on your own. So let's start with stat number one, and that is 72 out of 76. And that is a combination of Joel Embiid and Nikola Vucevic when they've been over the last six games combined matched up against Marc Gasol. That is 72 points total against 76 shots. Marc Gasol is a freaking beast. And it continued into game one. And that's a huge number for us, because Joel Embiid is the one guy that, he's going to be a first team all NBA, maybe second team. Not sure how you sit on Nikola Jokic. Gasol again, we talked about this in the last pod, how, you know, he's going to be the engine that makes him run, and you know, Gasol shut him down again. And this is with an extension in minutes, right? He played about six more minutes than what he was averaging against the Brooklyn Nets. So that's big numbers a lot. That was a big stat. That was the first one that jumped out to me. Another one, and this one I think will surprise you guys. Well, okay. It surprised me, because when we came into the series, we talked a whole lot about how the Sixers were the number one free throw shooting team and the Raptors were the last place free throw shooting team.
Not tonight.
Yeah, exactly. The number I'm going to throw out to you is three, and that is how many more free throws Toronto took over Philadelphia. So yep. Very promising that, you know, we went to the line 24 times to Philly's 21. Even though I guess there's probably arguments from both sides about how there were some calls that you could probably, you know, you could have lived without, right? I'm pretty sure both Toronto and Philly fans were both arguing about some of the ref calls. But at the end of the day, a number of fouls kind of evened out almost. Raptors had three more, but then again, they also had three more free throws. And that's a good sign moving forward. Mm-hmm. Final number I'm going to throw you guys is actually a positive for Philadelphia. And I'm kind of like, you know, throwing this over into Dre's direction if he starts talking about, you know, improvements. But and that is 13. That's the number of offensive rebounds by the Sixers. Mm. it was a huge advantage. You know, that what that created was a bunch of second chance points. So Sixers dominated the Raptors on offense rebounds, 13-2, which also led to a domination in second chance points, 14-2. So yeah, those are my three big numbers from today. But yeah, over to you, Jay.
All right. Well, remember when you said, or you talked about those free throws, and we got 24 free throws. We only made 17 in them, which is okay. It's still 70%. But the thing is, 11 of those attempts were from Kawhi himself. He played friggin' phenomenal. 45 points. I'm sorry. This is, who are we talking about? Jordan here? Unbelievable. He played unbelievable. Defensively, offensively. Whenever he was dribbling into the shot cloth, it was very calm, cool, and collective. He did a little bit of fadeaways. He added some threes. He drove. He drew all those fouls. And you can just tell that nobody on the starting five of the Philadelphia 76ers could handle him. They're all getting so frustrated. It's because we have the best player in at least the Eastern Conference. There's nobody that can stop Kawhi Leonard. And I'm so happy for once in our six-year run of playoffs that we have the best player. It's always been the narrative of we have the better team, but the opposing team had the better player. Now it's completely switched around. And Kawhi Leonard, what? I'm going to give him first, second, and third star. It's just incredible what we're watching, what we're witnessing. And I mean, I can argue this could be a better performance than what we saw in VC when he played against AI, essentially, because he dropped to 50 and Kawhi didn't get 50, but I feel like he did more in the game in the effect of, like, you know, on the defensive end and on the offensive end, all around. It was just a better all-around game from Kawhi, and he is the better player. It is clear, okay? So the second point I want to make positive-wise is, you already alluded to it, Jay, is Gasol. So my sister, she came over. She wanted to watch the game with us, and she asked me, do you think that Masai and Bobby Webster, do you think that they knew down the line that we were going to face someone like Philadelphia or someone like Embiid? So that's why we got Gasol. Honestly, I think so. Even if we played Boston, Gasol versus Horford is a great matchup as well. But Gasol, on defense, he's not going to give you very much on offense. He doesn't need to, right? Because we have Kawhi, because we have Siakam. But Gasol on defense, he's talking so much. I remember when Brian, our last episode, he was alluding to how when Joel Embiid likes to play or is faced up against larger opponents, he kind of wants to kind of bang with the bigger bodies. And you can tell that someone like Gasol is such a good matchup for that. And these are the reasons why we got him. Embiid was just not having it. It wasn't his game. Maybe it will be his game in the next two games or however long this is going to go. But Gasol on defense is amazing. So my third point is... Yep. Ibaka, again, yes. He had a slow start when coming into the game, but then once he kind of caught his stride, once he got that huge block, like a couple of huge blocks, you know that he was changing the game. And the perfect in order for Gasol to not have too many minutes on the floor. So those are my three positives. It was all around such a wonderful game. I know that Dre is going to give up some things to clean up, and I think there are, but even still, I know that the 76ers are a better team than Orlando Magic, so I'm going to try to keep optimistic, but I don't want to overreact. That's all. On to you, Andreas.
You know it's a really good game when Siakam doesn't even crack the top three pros about a game, because he played tremendously as well. And as because I firmly agree with your 3 points, and I think it was a great game. But like any telling first game in a series, there will be some things to take away, despite our very big win. First off, I want to talk about bench points. Mm-hmm. There was a point where we only had like 2. And then it crept up to 5. Noticing that we ended up with 10, I'm actually stunned that we did, because I don't remember how we got there. Versus the 24 that the 76ers had, which 24 doesn't seem like a hell of a lot either, but they got those way before us. And I think that comes from the fact that Brett Brown knows his bench isn't that great, So when our bench is on, they don't go toe-to-toe. He puts his starters on, like, the start of the second quarter. And that's when they had their first really big breakthrough into our own lead. Like, this wasn't when the 76ers were leading. This is when we were leading, and they went on a run. So that's one thing we have to keep wary of. Our bench, despite not being quite as good as I'd like it to be, is still better than the 76ers, and Brett Brown knows this. Mm-hmm. So he's going to put his main guys on our bench, and it's going to get a little frightening. So that's why the mismatched lineups later on in the game are great. It's something we have to keep doing. Secondly, it's something that you alluded to, Jay, earlier, the offensive boards. Something else we're better at is our defense. So when Brett Brown sends all of his wild card players into the key to try and get the rebounds afterwards, you know it's like an overcompensation, but guess what? It occasionally works. And that's something that we have to keep in mind, because that actually leaks into my third thing that we need to brush up on. Our defense is excellent. We don't always complete our defensive plays, and it turns into turnovers, or our offense defensive plays, where Van Vliet, for instance, will let Embiid slide past and he won't take a full-on charge, and that results in a foul, and then Embiid goes to the line. Or if Van Vliet tries to take a charge, he's got to set it up properly, but fortunately he's got Gasol, he's got Lowry, two of the best charge drawers in the league. Mm-hmm. That he can take note from. And that goes for everybody else who's not Gasol and Lowry. So we just have to own the defense, because guess what? We are well ahead of them defensively. We have to finish. It's the follow-through. We have a great shot when it comes to our defense. We have to follow through with our defense on specific plays. Our bench needs to own the fact that Brett Brown's going to send his starters on the bench, try and play tighter ball, especially if we have the lead, so they don't catch up. And finally, offensive boards. Look, if they keep sending in the 76ers as often as they are into the key to try and outboard us, they're going to be dead ducks by the third game. So just try and go toe-to-toe with them. But like they're trying really hard. Yeah. I don't know if it was obvious, but they're trying really hard. They're like rats feasting there.
Was there anything – there was a certain point in the fourth quarter – fairly early in the fourth quarter where I believe Embiid hit a shot right at the end of the shot clock. And then it looked like he was grimacing a bit. Did you guys see that in the fourth?
I don't know.
It was a little bit odd. I'm pretty sure it happened in the fourth. And after he hit the jump shot, he made a face. And it could have just been, I mean, judging by how the Sixers were basically dominated all night, that could have just been we're getting our butts kicked face. But at the same time, like I did notice, like the second he hit that shot, the second he kind of made that face, I believe it was James Ennis just kind of shot up from the bench, right? So I don't know, maybe it was a coincidence, but what I'm trying to get at is the concerns about his knees, which he even pointed out before the game that it's going to be a problem throughout the playoffs. He's just going to try to play through it. I'm wondering if the additional minutes he played, again, he only played 30 minutes, but he was averaging only 25 against the Nets. If the extra minutes are starting to, are already starting to affect him.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, he had a pretty good game, but I know he's had better, and I know Gasol gave him a hell of a run, and Ibaka wasn't quite at first, but later on Ibaka truly came to shine. And it's what I was saying in the last pod. I think going head-to-head with our defense and then not being prepared for the second wave of Powell and Ibaka is just exhausting these guys. And somebody like Embiid who's not 100%, yeah, I think it's starting to show already, and it's only game one.
Yeah, and I think it comes to no surprise that Brett Brown was going to use as much minutes for the starters as possible, except for Embiid. And then when you have Ennis in there and Boban in there, you know automatically Toronto has a deeper bench. We know this already. So I don't think that Brett Brown wants to exhaust Embiid as much, or I guess exhaust that knee as much as possible, because I don't think they're going to tell anybody if he's injured or not, or any discomfort, because you don't want to give any advantage to the opposing team, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if that knee is bothering him. At the same time, I just feel like Embiid was not comfortable the entire game. Gasol, this is the Gasol effect, right? Gasol, even when Embiid does pass Gasol into like, I don't know, into a layup or something like that, our rotation is so good that that help defense is automatically going to get Embiid to pass the ball frantically, right? And then this is the whole point of our defense is going to win us the series, I think, just because of that, just because of the Gasol, because without Gasol, or sorry, without Embiid, the Sixers don't really have very many options, especially without Simmons, the same thing. They don't have very many options. The one thing we have to clean up, though, is we can't let Redick change the game. When he got hot, that was when I was concerned. I was like, don't let him get hot. Like, whatever means possible, use those fouls. I know that Kyle Lowry was in foul trouble. Go to Danny Green. Go to Kyle Lowry. Go to Fred VanVleet. Anyone that's just going to disturb those shots, because once he gets hot, it's going to open up so much more space for them. And we can't need that. I know that the Sixers are already going to clean up their mistakes. So game two, we got to get ready.
Well, I will say this, though, because I know he's got a technical now, Redick, and if it carries over, and I know he's currently got a bit of a bug he's got to shake off. If Embiid through injury or Redick through foul situations miss a game, they lose the series. I'm just saying it now. I can't see how they're going to put things together without the one playmaker that's keeping everything together, Redick, or Embiid, the one bull that they're behind as they charge into battle. I don't think they're going to, they cannot surpass us without either of them.
Quick question before we end this post-game pod. Is Kawhi going to go for 50?
No, he's going to go for 50 against the next team.
Ooh. I think he can get 50.
I think he can. I don't think he will.
Right. I'm of the same mind. I mean, he'll get 50 if it's required.
Ah,
exactly.
And just a couple of points on some of the things you guys had said. When it comes to Redick, I agree. I mean, you know, the Nurse was a little bit slow on making the switch there. You know, I believe Redick did most of his damage when Lowry came out of the second, out of halftime guarding him. Mm-hmm. And that's when his shot started to fall. But, you know, I also noticed that, you know, Redick had to sit for a second. And then when he came back in later in the third, all of a sudden Siakam was guarding him and he didn't hit a single shot after that. Yeah. When he did hit one more additional three in the fourth, I don't know who was guarding him, but I'm pretty sure it was not Siakam. So that could be one adjustment that Nurse makes is, you know, if and that's the joy of the team that we have, right? Is like you there is no weakness on offense or on defense. So you know, in that third quarter, just, you know, the learning from that is maybe don't put Lowry on Redick. And in addition to that, in terms of the technical fouls, I wouldn't be too concerned about the or start to think a little bit too far ahead here in terms of like how many technical fouls these guys are going to accumulate. A suspension, you need 7 technicals. That's only Draymond Green's going to get that. So,
well, let's hope he does, because we might face him.
That's true.
Yeah. So you know, and the way that this game was played out, I mean, it kind of played to what we expected in terms of like how the matchups would go down and where the Raptors' advantages were. And, you know, this is going to be a physical match. So I'm kind of not surprised that that Toronto, you know, literally drew blood first. But yeah, I mean, this is going to continue to be a very physical matchup. And I'm happy that Toronto has, you know, the right guys in place to kind of battle.
Not to be negative, but technically we've drawn first blood in both our games.
I was going to say.
Against Redick now. I think that's what we got to do. We got to bleed Redick. And so do they, apparently.
And I love what you said, Jay, too, is that, you know, this is a perfect matchup because how many times have we not been able to match the physicality? We finally have a team to do so. So, game two, Monday. I'll see you guys then. That's a wrap.